Welcome once again to The Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, and my co-host, Gwyn Sheltimer. Each week, we visit with a local author, get an introduction to their work, sometimes a glimpse into their lives, find out what prompts them to write, and we give them an opportunity to read from their work. This week, we're very pleased to welcome Ruth Clark. Welcome, Ruth. Ruth is the author of two history books narrated from the point of view of fictional characters, as well as a coffee table book of photographs and two guidebooks about the Black Oak Savannah at Alderville. However, recently she's published several contemporary short stories and is working on a crime novel set in Central America, all a complete departure from her previous work, which is set locally or in the 19th century. So, Ruth, can you tell us briefly about your history books, which I know engaged you for many years, and why you chose to tell that history through fictional characters?
I hated history as a student. I thought it was flat on the page. I'm more of a storyteller. I come from a family tradition of storytelling. And I thought there was more to tell through a fictional character who could be the contrast between what was happening and what the traditional life had been.
So your fictional character is a native person?
She's a young native person. Her uncle is a very real person, John Sunday, who was one of the native people Christianized and groomed to be a circuit preacher before there were churches in the area. So she is able to paint the picture of how it was before the Methodists arrived. And she is able to show her confusion, because it was almost as if they were just totally accepting of the Methodist way of life, where Ishbaniben, or Sarah, was able to say, well, we used to do it this way, and I don't quite understand what's happening. And so yes, we could bounce things off her.
Uh-huh, that's a really interesting concept.
Uh-huh.
Yes, there were several famous preachers in the group of Methodists who went to Alderville, were there not?
Mm-hmm.
It was one of them called Peter something.
Peter Jacobs, Alan Salt. Alan Salt was my favorite. He was very prolific. I met his granddaughters, I guess, and they had a manuscript of his that he had started preparing in Alderville. He also went to Walpole in the West.
Oh, yes.
And did drawings of medicinal plants and what they were used for. And they weren't the native names or any. The Ojibwe people in Walpole couldn't understand what he was saying, so we couldn't have a good translation of it. But his journals, all of his writings are available in the National Archives. It was enthralling to do that research.
Yes. So when we heard you read at a launch last fall, Ruth, you read a new short story set in Costa Rica called Witness. Why did you choose Costa Rica as your setting?
The germ of the idea, I've been going to Costa Rica since 1979 and Mexico since I was in my early 20s. So Latin American countries draw me there. But I was there for 7 months last year and met a couple who had rescued parrots and maltreated parrots and bad situations that they'd been in. And I was over for lunch one day, and one was just screaming in Spanish, just carrying on. And Max didn't speak Spanish, but his wife did. And he said, I asked her what the bird was saying. And it's saying, don't hit me, please don't hit me. And that just stuck with me, and I started embroidering a story around those lines. It's evolved from there. When I read that story, well, first my husband, I sent it to him, and he said, it's great, but it sounds like the beginning of something else, something larger. And then at the reading, people asked for the parrot book. So
it was a very powerful story.
Yeah. Yes. Well, it's grown since then. That was up in Nicaragua, that where that came from.
Oh.
So it's, yeah, it's evolving.
So maybe you've already answered what inspired you to write Witness. And you've said that you were encouraged to turn it into a novel. So could you read us part of that short story so we get some idea?
I will. This has been a little modified since it's going to be published in an anthology later this summer. I believe the title is They Should Take You In, is the title by Hiddenbrook Press. To set it up, this story takes place in northwestern Costa Rica in the province of Guanacaste. An artist from New York has gone there. He's been given the word that there's property for sale, and it sounds very good, so he goes. He buys the piece of property. And while he's there, he's out walking along the beach one night, and this flash of lime green goes by him, and he continues walking. He figures it's a parrot. And then he hears screaming, someone in distress, and then it stops. And he blames it all on the wind and the bamboo next to the house. So this is about 1 month into his staying there. And there are two other characters. I can't introduce all of the characters. There are two drug dealers that you will meet later on in this story. There is Don Verde. He is the parrot. And Maria, the cleaning lady. When Maria arrived again, I was at my easel. She seemed curious. Perhaps she'd never seen an artist at work. I beckoned for her to come and take a look. My subject was on his rusted pump handle, and she nodded, pointing, acknowledging the likeness. She went about her work humming and singing to the radio I'd tuned to a local station. When she started scrubbing the floor, the tap water trickled to a halt, and she carried her pail out to the pump to collect water. As she approached, I recognized the cries I'd heard. They were coming from the parrot, followed by a stream of incomprehensible Spanish, some relaxed and chatty, some almost hysterical, or so I thought. Maria appeared startled by what she heard and even crossed herself. The parrot flew to a nearby mango tree and continued screaming. Maria looked at me with a worried expression, fear in her eyes. I shrugged, not understanding what the parrot was saying, not knowing what to say to placate her, nor how to say it. She managed to pump enough water to finish the floors, and the parrot remained in the trees, finally quiet. I bought a Spanish-English dictionary and started to look up words that I needed to be able to communicate with Maria. I'd asked her to come once a week now, since I was becoming more involved in my painting and outside chores. By the time she arrived the following week, I was able to ask her what the parrot was saying, though I couldn't understand her response and asked her to write it down for me. The parrot was saying, "Long trip, fly safe, home again. Please don't hit me, don't hit me." Then he was obviously crying, that I could understand. Now when the parrot arrived at the perch, I recognized the Spanish words. Some sounded mature and confident. Other expressions sounded childlike and terrified. The parrot recited his litany of expressions without seeming to register the emotions, immune to the fearful cries that he had doubtlessly heard several times. Maria had been coming to the house for a month when, once again, there was no water coming out of the taps. Once again, she carried her pail to the pump. But when she had drawn only a fraction of the pail, she yelled for me to come. "The water was dirty," she said. "It smelled." I knew those words now. I bent over the pail and agreed that it stank. Perhaps a rat had fallen between the cracks of the platform that held the pump. I said I would take a look and told her to forget the floors and anything else that needed water. She left early. when I finished painting for the day, I got the rusty bent crowbar from the shed and started prying off the boards that covered the well. Some were rotted and almost flaked off. Others appeared to have been recently replaced. I got them all off, pulled out the pipe, and got a flashlight from the glove compartment of my car. When I returned to the well, the parrot had returned and started squawking from his perch on the pump handle that I'd leaned against the veranda when I'd pulled out the pipe. The well wasn't deep, and my flashlight caught a shape larger than a rat, clothed, bloated, and stinking. I called the real estate agent and told him to call the police. They were there within minutes, fishing a small body out of the well. The parrot testified as they stowed the bagged body in the ambulance and drove away.
Thank you. That's really very, very effective. Now we'll take a short break.